Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's Christmas!
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
Lads, in case you haven't noticed, it's Christmas. This episode comes out on Christmas Day.
Hence why I was saying it's Christmas.
Mistletoe and wine.
So, for all you sick bastards listening to true crime on Christmas Day, but then again, even though it's, you know, time to celebrate, people still die.
They do. No, see, you say that, you know.
People do die on Christmas Day.
You've got to think about all the people on Christmas, because Christmas Day, you immediately go, oh, you spend time with your family. No. Not everyone, first off.
I don't.
And second, even if you are spending time with your family,
yeah,
you're still in the kitchen fucking cooking dinner. You might want a little bit of true crime to listen to as yeah, you do so. Or you're spending the entire day with your family and you need to just fuck off for a few minutes and have a moment to yourself. We all feel it. We're all sick of it. No, I love Christmas though. I really enjoy the tradition.
Fucking hate it.
Yeah, but you only do that because you're scabby.
It's not about being scabby.
I see, we've had this discussion many a time. Your reason for not liking Christmas is?
The roads are fucked with traffic.
No, okay. Yeah, fair enough. I understand the busy thing. But the number one thing you always say is, oh, it's so fucking stupid. You're spending all this money.
It's not about family and stuff like that. It's siblings trying to outshine by who got the best gift. Mummy and daddy.
Yeah, but that's not my
experience. It's just a competition of who can skin who first.
But I think you need to look within yourself as to why you're doing that. Like I don't feel the need to do that. If me and you put a cap on our spending this year because we were like, we don't have a lot of money to spare. We still want to get each other something, but let's not go crazy.
Yeah.
It's still nice. It's still like
it's fucking stupid. Like we work in a pub, and just because it's coming up to Christmas, dickheads will be coming into work with Christmas hat on, fucking Christmas jumpers.
I like that. Yeah. I think it's fun.
Is it?
I think you've just got to stick up your ass.
Everyone walking around like a twat.
No, but like the money thing is the one that really bothers me with you. I get you don't like that it's more hectic and all that shit. Fine. But when you go on about money, it pisses me off because you're putting too much emphasis on the monetary value. It's not about that.
Well. So you've said you've got something to read to me, but you said wait until we're recording.
I do indeed. We received an email from a listener. His name is Nick.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking about seed sniffing again.
We've got one.
Not him. Not him. I'll state that right now.
Told you I wasn't the only person to do it.
It is not Nick. This person's not a child who did it, though, in his story.
Oh, a dog?
No. So, Nick wrote to us and he said, I personally have never smelled a seat, but I do have a little story about it. I worked for a company that had a management structure that was heavily based on nepotism. It's no good, is it?
What's that mean?
Hiring like family and shit over who should necessarily.
Been there.
So a lot of upper management engaged in affairs and other scandals that resulted in very little repercussions. Anyway, The guy who was in charge of all of the quality was a real dignified-looking guy and had a reputation as a family man. Apparently, though, he had a thing for a secretary because one day she got up and left the office, and after she left, he went and smelled her chair.
Fuck off.
Dude was on his knees smelling this woman's chair when an inspector walked in on him. Of course, the story spread like wildfire, and the secretary was soon resigned to a different part of the office. It then became well known that he was a pervert. So, in Nick's story, the seat sniffer's a pervert. Now, we did also get a follow-up from Nick, and he said, the secretary in question actually went on to have an ongoing affair with her new boss, and this fella apparently had the worst comb-over ever. So at least you know how the secretary's doing. Hopefully he's not sniffing her seat, Mr. Comb-over. But so that's the story about seat sniffing, and the main theme is there, it's for perverts. It's a hobby of perverts.
Well, I've never heard it in a pervy way.
What way have you heard it?
It's just... It's more just interested. Like, being... Best way to put it is, it's a kid being nosy.
Well, thank you, Nick, for that email, because I greatly appreciate the fact that there are... I don't appreciate the fact that there's other seat sniffers out there, but I appreciate that you've gotten contact to basically say, it's not right.
So is Nicholas calling me a pervert?
I mean, I didn't say it. He didn't say that outright, but the general consensus here is that you're no good.
Huh. Well, I wasn't good. I'm okay now.
Yeah, you're fine now, as far as I know.
Well, this is it. Like, since I told you, say if we're sat on settee watching a film.
I've looked at you different.
And you've got up to go to the toilet. While you're in the toilet, you're like, he better not be out there sniffing my seat.
I wasn't, but I am now. Very concerning behaviour.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, well, with that out of the way, to me getting attacked, scurrilous comments, if
accusations,
it's aimed at me. Yeah.
Allegedly.
I'll be having words with Nick, going around casting aspersions. What have you got for us today? For Christmas, what case have you got us for Christmas?
Well, you know, like you said, it is Christmas, so today we're going to be covering a murder that did in fact take place over the Christmas period. Today we're going to be talking about the murder of Paul Logan. Not to be confused with Logan Paul.
Okay.
He's not dead, he's just a gobshite.
Why is he a gobshite?
Logan Paul?
Yeah.
Ah, he is, isn't he? He's just a bit of a mouth.
Like...
fair play to him, like he's fucking made a living for himself and all that, but I get a bit sick of all the YouTube personalities.
See, I have a personal vendetta against him.
Oh.
Like, I personally blame him. Not just him.
For the downfall of civilization.
For the downfall of boxing.
Okay.
It's him and KSI who started...
KSI.
All that. It's him and KSI who started all that fucking influencer boxing shit.
Yeah.
You know, and then dragging boxers out of retirement to pay him off to not throw a right hand.
Okay, well, here's the thing on all of that. So initially, I was very judgmental. Like, oh, fuck off, you're a YouTuber, why are you a boxer? And then I was like, well, hang on a sec now. Maybe they want to choose a different career path, and if they want to go into boxing, fine.
Yeah.
Well, my opinion quickly switched back to the original thought when they still carried on with all the drama and the fucking stirring up shite just to get people interested in the fight. Now, that's always been a thing in boxing, but it's just so intense.
So Logan Paul and KSI were, quote, enemies, hated each other, was doing diss raps about each other and shit.
Fuck off.
And then they started a fucking, that prime energy drink together. And now they're bezzy mates.
Mm. Money talks, isn't it?
It's not like back in the day when, so like Muhammad Ali, when he was coming up to fight Joe Frazier. There was no beef between them, but Ali just kept at him and at him and at him in the build up to the fight. And by the time it got to the fight, there was something there. I'm not sure I can say it on the podcast what Ali was doing.
Bold things he should not have been doing.
So, well, Logan Paul then.
Well, I was just about to say, I mean, we did say not to be confused with Logan Paul, but already we've gotten confused.
Yeah.
With Logan Paul.
Well, no. I just needed to get that off my chest.
Yeah, understandably.
Fuck Logan Paul.
So, back to Paul Logan.
Piss off back to WWE and stay there.
Paul Logan was from Black Hill in County Durham. By the age of 25, Paul was married and a father of two. Paul had actually met his wife Pamela Hughes as a child, and they'd been together for 10 years. Together, they were the proud parents of 4-year-old Michael and 9-month-old Natalie. Paul was described as your everyday guy, very happy-go-lucky, an excellent father who's very loving, and he was always there to lend a helping hand. At this point in his life, Paul's job was that of a delivery driver. He'd been working this position for the last 2 years at a Chinese takeaway in Shotley Bridge called Golden Flower.
Nothing wrong with that. Been a delivery driver.
Oh, you've done it for years.
Well, you can live off tips. I've never done it for a takeaway, but when I've spoken to people who have, they've said the tips is always more than the wage.
I'd say it's a lot worse now.
And it's usually free food.
Like, you know, you don't tend to have as much cash to throw someone a few quid. Now, where we order from, they have the option to tip online, so I always throw them a few quid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in terms of cash, you don't really have it on you, do you? On the 23rd of December, while working his delivery job, an order was placed at the Golden Flower at about 9:30 p.m. It was for delivery to Blue House Farm. Not entirely sure of the location of the property, the woman working in the takeaway told the customer that she would get the delivery driver to call them back for directions. As, you know, it would have been more straightforward rather than her passing on the information.
Yeah.
Paul rings
Hadn't heard of a tom-tom.
What?
Hadn't heard of a tom-tom.
Sat-nav?
Yeah.
This was in 1993.
Okay. See, this is what's wrong with this generation. So, even though when I was driving, there was tom-tom sat-navs.
Sorry, I probably should have mentioned that. I just realised I said the 23rd of December, completely dismissed the year. But yeah, 1993.
So that's what's wrong with this generation is, so when I started driving, I was using TomToms and Garmins, you know, different sat-navs. But I knew how to read a map.
I can't read a map.
Like, I could follow a map to get to my destination.
Mm-hmm.
Give that to a 20-year-old now.
I have to be honest with you, if it was me, I'd be lost within 5 minutes.
Take Google Maps off him and give him a book.
Yeah.
A proper atlas. Give him an atlas.
Well, not, you may be taking the piss, give them an atlas. So Paul rings the customer and they confirm directions to the address. And by about 10 p.m, the food order was ready. Paul collects the order, gets in his car and made the drive to the customer's home, which was only about 5 minutes away. Once Paul had arrived at the property, he drove down their drive and made his way to the front door with the food in hand. The residents of the property opened the door, and they were a bit confused as to why he was there. They told him that no such order had been placed. So Paul's obviously thinking, you know, that's fucking weird, but whatever. So he hops back in his car and drives off. Now, after about half an hour, the homeowners look out their window, and they noticed that Paul's car, a white Peugeot, was still at the bottom of their drive.
Peugeot. Don't do that.
I think it's Peugeot.
It's Peugeot. I've worked there.
Yeah, Peugeot. But you also get things wrong a lot.
It's fucking fucking Irish ruin everything. Like, Audi. Audi.
I say Audi.
Oh, well, I've heard a lot of Irish, they say Audi.
I haven't. It fucking disgusts me.
But it's Peugeot.
Right, well, either way, his white Peugeot, whatever you want to call it, is still at the bottom of their drive. So, they're a bit concerned as to why this fella is now just lurking around their property. They call the takeaway to ask why he's still hanging around. The takeaway didn't know why he was still there. In fact, the takeaway themselves hadn't heard from Paul, and they were wondering as to his whereabouts as well.
So something had happened to him between the front door and his car?
Yes. Now, the takeaway actually had to stop taking orders, as without their delivery driver, they were starting to pile up. So now they're getting a bit panicked and thinking, where the fuck is Paul?
I gone for a jimmy.
For over half an hour.
Well, and got lost. It happened to your one on that trail. She went for a piss and got lost. How long was she gone? More than half hour.
Yeah, but this is only 5 minutes away from where he works.
Well, with the icy conditions, there might have been a storm. He couldn't see which direction he was going in.
No, that's not what happened. We'll stop it there. That's not, he didn't go for, I mean, he might have done, actually, now that you say it. But that's, it's not a happy ending here.
Okay.
The owner of the Golden Flower Takeaway phoned Pam, and they ask if she had heard from him. She tells him that she hasn't, and they decide to call his parents. His parents hadn't heard from him either, and they decide to drive to the takeaway, and from there, head to Blue House Farm. When they get there, the owners of the farm inform them that they have already called the police. They see that Paul's car is still parked at the entrance to the property, with the lights still on and the doors left open. It's not the most reassuring setting. This is when they begin to search the farmland. And bear in mind, it's late December, it's been snowing, it's absolutely fucking freezing.
Yeah.
They search through the area in the pitch black. And in the early hours of Christmas Eve, at about 2:15 a.m, 50 yards from his car, Paul's body was found laid in the snow. He'd been beaten to death with severe injuries to his head caused by blunt force trauma.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. It's a fucking hideous thing for any family to go through, but made worse by the fact that this took place at Christmas.
Yeah.
With the young child sat at home waiting for his father, and although she would have been too young to remember, it was his daughter Natalie's first Christmas, something that the family were obviously looking forward to.
So they want to be taking a hard look at them in that house. So it was between the front door and the car.
I mean, it does look very sus, but I mean, the homeowners, they were very like, what the fuck's going on?
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean? They called the police themselves to say, here, look it. Some fella's lurking around our drive. So, yeah, I mean, incredibly difficult time for his family. You know, like you said, it was his daughter's first Christmas. No doubt they're planning on making memories they would have for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
But even with the pain that they were going through, Paul's family were still set on giving the kids a good Christmas. Paul's sister Dawn said of that year, quote, "When I look back, I don't know how we done it, but we did it." I wonder, was one of those things where, you know, because it was literally on Christmas Eve when they found out that he had been murdered.
Mm.
You know, he'd gone missing a few hours previous, and then you find out he's gone, he's dead. I wonder, was it kind of, you know, they didn't really have time to process and just went into autopilot of, right, okay, well, we'll get the dinner going, we'll do the presents, we'll carry on with how we were going to.
I don't know, like, see, that's something else about Christmas. Like, oh, it makes it even worse because it's Christmas. Well, no, it doesn't make it worse. Whether someone's killed on 8th of June or someone's killed on Christmas Day, it's still a life being took.
Oh, no, of course. But I think if you're someone who does celebrate Christmas, you know, for a lot of people, it's getting together with your family. You know, and at that yeah. point in his life, he was 25 years old. He was already married. He had 2 kids. He was like right in the fucking like daddy zone of like kids, presents, you know, the whole fucking bit.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I know you don't like Christmas, Neil, but some of us do. Paul was laid to rest in Black Hill Cemetery, where his daughter now visits every Christmas Eve. So, Neil, What's the crack here? Who did this and why? I mean, you're sus of the owners of the property, from the sounds of it.
All right, from the information I've got.
Which is fuck all.
So it's someone who doesn't give a shit, but it's coming up to Christmas.
Heartless bastard, yeah.
I think... Right, let me get my detective brain on. Let me put my detective hat on.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm quite the detective. He's got food, so homeless person attacked him to take the food. Homeless person won't give a shit about Christmas because they're homeless. They're living on the street.
Well, I'll say fair play to you because I've given you fuck all information so far and you're still trying to make a guess.
Yeah.
Right, we'll talk about what we do know of the case. So, no money had been taken from his car or his body. So, not likely it was a robbery. The murder weapon was never found.
Was the food?
They didn't say.
Because it wasn't there.
Well, okay, Neil's on to something now.
Homeless person took it.
But this is the thing, they didn't say it was like left sat in the car or they found it thrown on the ground or anything like that. You're on to something.
I am.
This is Esther, host of the true crime podcast Once Upon a Crime. Join us in December for our gripping two-part series as we delve deep into the life and career of American musical producer and entrepreneur Sean Diddy Combs. In September 2024, Diddy was arrested on shocking charges of racketeering, sex trafficking by force, and transportation for purposes of prostitution. Devastating accusations that have sent ripples through the entertainment industry. As new accusers come forward daily with harrowing tales of assault and exploitation, we're left asking one pressing question: why did he do it? In these eye-opening episodes, we'll explore Diddy's early life and career to uncover the hidden factors that may have contributed to his alleged criminal behavior. How did a man who epitomized success, wealth, fame, and accolades fall from grace into scandal and disgrace? You'll learn how the bombshell allegations against him surfaced and the troubling signs that hinted at an underlying need for control and dominance in both his personal and professional relationships. We'll dissect the cracks in his polished persona and reveal how they eventually led to a narrative far darker than anyone could have imagined. Stay tuned for intriguing insights, expert commentary, and analysis that will leave you questioning everything you thought you knew about the man behind the music. If you'd like deeper insights into more true crime stories that make the headlines, listen to Once Upon a Crime on your favorite podcast app. We drop a new episode every Monday, so you'll never run out of true crime stories. Or subscribe to our YouTube channel for documentary-style videos of all the cases we cover. Just look for Once Upon a Crime podcast on YouTube.
So, yeah, no money was taken. It's unlikely that it was a robbery. And the murder weapon was never found. So we can't link that back to anyone or a place of purchase. What police believe is that this was a planned attack carried out by multiple people. Now, the phone call to place the food order was made from a phone box not far from where Paul had been attacked. A couple who'd been out walking that evening recalled seeing a man at approximately 9:30 p.m. placing a call from the phone box. They also noted that they had seen a red Ford Fiesta XR2 parked nearby. Do you know what car that is?
Yes. Do I know what a Fiesta is?
No, that specific one. Ford Fiesta XR2.
Well, no, but it's a variant of a Fiesta.
Describing the man she saw at the phone box, she said, "He was white, about 6 foot tall, muscular build, about 30 years of age, with collar-length dark hair receding in the front, overall scruffy appearance and wearing a black leather jacket." There was also another witness who said that they had seen a red or orange Astra about 150 yards from the entrance of Blue House Farm.
See, they were a good car.
Astra.
The original Astras. Yeah, I nearly killed myself in an Astra. Like, fucking very close. So it's when I worked at this other dealership and someone had part X'd their car for a brand new car.
Mm-hmm.
And the car they part X'd was an Astra Nürburgring edition.
Okay.
So to look at it, it just looks like an Astra. But the engine in it had got that much torque in it. I can't remember how much torque, but it was front wheel drive. There was far too much torque for a front wheel drive car.
Mm.
But I'd never driven one. And you'd leave the dealership and you'd immediately be on a roundabout. And then if you took the third exit, you'd be on a dual carriageway, like a highway, for our American listeners. And I'd always, you know, I'd been in a Golf GTI and, you know, Focus ST, and I'd boot it around the roundabout, sometimes having the back end out a bit, and then I'd go onto the dual carriageway. I did it with this Astra Nürburgring edition.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was coming off the roundabout and I booted it, it took off like a fucking rocket.
Yeah, I could see that coming.
But there was no steering. I could not steer it because there was too much fucking power. And I nearly went straight off the fucking road.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is your story.
Like, I think I had to change myself when I got back to the dealership and have the valet as...
Number one, number two, or both?
Shit myself.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on two purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Something else of note. The residents of Blue House Farm noted that they were fairly sure that they had left their gate open that night. But when others had arrived to look for Paul, the gate was shut.
Oh.
It's thought that once Paul had entered the property, whoever was there waiting for him shut the gate behind him, so that as he approached the gate on his way out, he would have to exit the car to open the gate, thus giving them an opportunity to ambush him.
Wouldn't the people in the house have heard? They think it's multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
So one, wouldn't he have heard the gate close? Two, wouldn't they have heard several people beating a man to death?
Well, they took him 50 yards away. So not far, obviously, but a bit into a field. And as far as like where the car was located to the house, it was down a drive. So it's not like right outside their front door. Over the course, you really have it out for the owners of this property. You're very sus of them, aren't you? Over the course of the investigation, the police have interviewed 2,271 people. They've taken 903 statements and followed up on 1,796 lines of inquiry. Although there is no known motive, the police have said that they did find multiple people who held grudges against Paul. And after Paul's death, his gravestone was defaced. We also know that in the weeks before Paul's death, his car had been vandalised on three separate occasions.
Ah, so he's pissed someone off.
Well, on one of the times that his car was vandalised, the words "no legs" were scratched into the roof of his car. It's looking a bit dodgy.
Thing is, do you know if you was to attack someone, kill them, and it's looking good for you,
mm-hmm.
would you go and deface his headstone?
No, I absolutely would not. But remember that, we'll come back to that in a little bit.
Okay.
By 2003, still with no answers, Paul's parents offer a reward of £10,000 for information leading to a conviction. Police also stated that as forensic science advanced, they had hoped that this could lead them to the killer. Detective Ian Sharp said of the investigation that he was keeping an open mind as to why Paul was murdered. Now, there has been numerous arrests made in connection with the murder, but none leading to a conviction. One of the suspects at the time being a man by the name of Keith Suddick.
Keith.
I know. This is Kevin all over again. It's one of those names, isn't it?
Keith.
6 years following the murder of Paul, Keith was convicted of a bomb attack on Paul's father's Astra van. He was jailed for 12 months. Keith's reason for the attempted bombing was because after he'd been arrested in connection with Paul's murder and then released, he believed that Paul's family were still pointing the blame towards him.
So to prove them wrong,
he's going to try and bomb them. Yeah. He said that in them doing this to him, it caused his business to fail, and Keith felt as though all of this had caused irreversible damage to his life.
Well, it is now, Keith.
He also claims that he was only thought to have been connected to the murder because of his association with other gangland figures. In 2009, Keith was convicted of arms dealing and sentenced to 9 years in prison. But obviously didn't serve the entire sentence, as in 2012, he was released. Not long after his release, Keith was found dead in his apartment. His cause of death was said to have been from a heart spasm caused from the use of cocaine. Inside his apartment, a white powder was found with a rolled up £10 note accompanied by two bottles of Lambrini.
Brini.
The old Brini.
The Brini. Right, any British female listener who is, like, I'm 35, so in the 30s, 100% they'll have drank Lambrini. That is, so you know how lads would go out and they'd buy a 3-litre bottle of White Lightning cider for like 95 pence?
Mm-hmm.
Birds would get Lambrini.
Birds, no less.
They class it as a bottle of wine and sit there.
Classic.
But drink it out the bottle.
No, see, it was class all the way with me when I was younger. Can of cider. Do you know what I mean?
No, I didn't get cans.
No, I can't. Like, I mean, class it up a little bit, Neil, will you? For fuck's sake.
Get a 3-litre bottle. It'd always be a blue bottle.
Mm.
Like the one I had with White Lightning.
You may as well have been drinking actual piss.
Yeah.
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 But anyway, he had two bottles of the old Brainy
So he had a bird round.
Well, this is...
Geezers didn't drink that.
This is the thing. So they said of the scene, it didn't look like he had purposely overdosed or anything like that. It looked like he was having a good time, so to speak.
A party?
Yeah, he liked a party. And it was an accidental overdose.
I hadn't seen Lambrini for years. Well,
heart spasm. I mean, I've never had it. I don't even know if it's sold over here.
Don't know.
But I mean, you have told me many times it is a staple of British culture.
Telling you, definitely any females from Britain in the 30s.
Females?
Tell Megan what Lambrini is like.
Have you had it yourself, yeah?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
You must have at some point had it, like a fucking swig of it at least.
I don't know.
Right, well, you know, I don't think it's sold over here, but next time I'm in the UK, I'll get a bottle of it and give it a go.
Well, we're going to London again in June.
Well, I feel dead classy from drinking it, will I?
No. You need to get...
Can I have a twisty straw?
Hang on. The 30-year-old female British listeners are going to love this. Right. When we go to London in June,
yeah,
before you drink Lambrini, you need to get a Berghaus jacket.
Oh. I'm not made of money.
And then, what do they wear bottom half? Like...
Leggings.
Leggings.
Love a pair of leggings.
Ugg boots.
Love Ugg boots. Got half this.
Big hoop earrings.
I don't have hoop earrings.
But when you're doing your makeup...
Yeah.
When you're putting your foundation on...
Yeah, cover your lips and everything.
Smother your lips with it.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can't remember what you do with your eyes.
Big black circles of eyeliner.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day. I remember the look. That was the style.
Yeah. So that's how you've got to... Oh, sovereign rings on your fingers.
No. I draw the line there. One too far, Neil.
You've got to have Pandora bracelet.
No. Never had any of that.
What would they wear around the neck? I can't remember.
Choker?
Oh, no. I know what they'd have around the neck. I can't remember what it was called, but our listeners all know.
Mm.
but it was a little gold thing, and it was a clown.
What?
Yeah, it was like a necklace pendant, but the pendant was like a clown figure in gold, and it had like little gems on it.
So any of our British listeners who are, you know, in and around their 30s, please let us know. Have we missed anything out? Or is Neil right on the money here? Can I just say as well, we're doing a lot of yap in this episode. Like we're you know.
Yeah, sorry.
We're straying a bit here. I feel like, you know, our regular listeners are going to enjoy it because, you know, they enjoy just acting the bollocks and shite. Anyone new who's just happened upon this episode, like, what is this fucking... They're not listening at this stage. They're already gone. They're not listening to this shit.
If you are still here, go and listen to one of our other ones.
It's Christmas, lads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give us a break. 2018 marked the 25th anniversary of Paul's murder. His children, now grown, but still with no answers. By now, authorities in Northumbria and Durham have begun working together on this case. Northumbria police were the ones who had been working on the case for years, but the murder had actually occurred on the border of these two counties. Of course, by joining their resources, they're hoping to reach a broader pool of people who may know something. The police renew their pleas for information. This time, a reward of £50,000 was being offered. Detective Dave English said of this case, quote, "We understand a lot has happened over the past 25 years. People have grown up, moved away, and might have forgotten all about this horrific crime. But Paul's family are still here and still searching for answers." Paul's brother David said of the reward offered, quote, "Someone out there knows what happened to Paul. And we are hoping this reward will be enough to encourage anyone who remembers even the smallest detail to come forward and help us get the closure our family deserves and to secure justice." So to this day, we're still wondering, why did this happen? There's been a lot of speculation as to whether Paul had gotten himself into some trouble or, you know, some kind of debt.
Mm.
I myself immediately went there in my mind because we see it so often, unfortunately.
Me, I went straight to drugs.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people were thinking.
But did they do an autopsy on him and find drugs in his system? Was he a drug user?
I came across a statement from his sister, Dawn, who really wanted to try and stop the rumours and gossip. She said, quote, "When there's rumours about drugs and debt, it hurts. To tarnish his memory like that is just not right." Apparently there was even rumours that Paul had been travelling back and forth to Tenerife, but apparently he didn't even own a passport, so that's just a load of shite. His sister Dawn also said, quote, "I think people automatically assume that we know why, but we haven't got a clue. The police have never been able to say why. There's never been a motive. I can't explain why he went out to work one night and never came home." Which I think it's very true. Like I said, I immediately was thinking, you know, it's some type of debt or something's happened. Something's gone on.
Yeah, yeah. He's pissed off the wrong person.
Yeah, and it definitely does appear there was some kind of harassment being aimed at Paul. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we don't actually know what the situation was, what the motive was. It's all just speculation.
I was going to say in this day and age, but especially back then, like, obviously early 90s, I was still a little kid, but like late 90s, early 2000s, look at someone the wrong way. Look in the wrong direction.
Well, police did say they found multiple people who held grudges against him. So.
Oh. Okay.
But it's very severe to set up to get him to, you know, the hoax call to get him out into an isolated area
and
murder
to
him.
It's premeditated.
Yeah. So, like, this isn't, you know, like, I'm not saying it's okay, but, you know, someone scratching up his car is one thing. Actually,
maybe he'd been shagging someone's missus.
Well, I mean, careful now.
What?
Premeditated murder is quite a leap from vandalising a car.
Yeah.
You know?
It could be anything from he'd been at it with someone's missus or...
having an affair.
Yeah. Or kick the shit out of someone's mate or brother. He could have ripped someone off. Like, there's loads of...
I mean, yeah, exactly. Again, this is all speculation, but you do wonder what were the grudges about? You know, there's something going on.
Hang on, this was in the 90s.
93, yeah.
Did he have ginger hair?
No.
Okay. Because people were horrible to ginger people back then. Like, brutal.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't know what the motive is. We don't actually know, like, what the sus is here.
Mm.
But what we do know is that a son, brother, husband, and father is now missing from these people's lives. Now 3 decades on, his murder still remains a mystery. Paul's parents, Elsie and Hugh, both passed away before ever receiving any kind of answers.
There's only one way they're going to solve this.
Mm.
Raise the I was going to say prize.
The reward.
The reward.
It's at 50,000 now.
No, it needs to be, look at the economy. It needs to be a lot higher than that. Because if this is anything to do with gangland, it needs to be a big reward.
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age, no one is going to go against a gang for 50k. What's 50k going to get you now?
Yeah. Following his death, apart from spending time with their grandkids, Paul's parents didn't celebrate Christmas anymore. It was just too much of a painful reminder. Quote, "People think that because 24 years have passed, time heals all wounds and that we've moved on. We haven't. Our family haven't. Paul's kids haven't. We live with this every day. Every day we wait for a phone call. You've got to hold on to that hope, because without hope, what have we got?" And that is the unsolved murder of Paul Logan. I understand some of you guys, and Neil, find it frustrating when a case is unsolved. You know, I get it. You'd like to have a conclusion. But if anything, I do think that's all the more reason to talk about it and make sure this case is still getting the attention it deserves, and hopefully the family can have some form of closure.
Yeah, like in the other unsolved one we did, that was just me being selfish because I wanted to know.
I get it, yeah. No, I do. It is nice to be able to kind of wrap it up. It's done. We know all the fucking sus, but
yeah,
you know.
But you know, like at the beginning of the episode, I was saying, "Oh, true crime at Christmas." But if you think about it, that's what Christmas is. It is true crime. Jesus was killed.
No.
Yes.
No, that's Easter.
What?
You're thinking about when Jesus rose. He has risen. That's not Christmas.
No, he was killed.
Explain yourself.
Like you, I'm not big into religion, but he was put on a cross, weren't he? He was like nailed to a fucking cross.
At Christmas.
Yeah.
No.
You explain yourself. Have I been lied to my whole life?
You haven't been lied to, you're just remembering it wrong. Unless your parents are seriously, seriously misinformed.
Jesus died Christmas Day.
No, he did not.
And then he rose.
No.
After that.
No.
What happened?
Yeah, you're thinking of Easter when
I did the nativity play.
No, you didn't.
When I was
in
six.
England, no, you told me about this nativity play. In England, you don't even do like the story of it. You guys decide to like add loads of stuff in and have it more fun for kids. Something that kids can get more into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still the same story.
No, it's not.
You just add a couple of characters. Like,
no, but it's completely, from what you've told me, you may as well not do a nativity, you may as well just do something else because it's so different from the story.
Like when I was six, I was one of the shadows.
I don't know what that means.
So what? I'd have a guitar and there were like three or four of us, I can't remember how many is in the shadows, and we would mime to the shadows playing on a speaker.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't understand this. Right, so when I was growing up, nativity plays were nativity plays. You strictly followed the story.
Before
yeah?
that, was a pig.
Okay. Like I said, for me growing up in Ireland, you strictly followed the story. Now, I don't have an issue if they're making it more palatable for kids. And like, let's say the three wise men, yeah?
Yeah.
Say they weren't wise men. Let's say you had like a fucking postman, a fucking baker.
We had a jolly postman.
Yeah. Okay. So postman, baker, and name another
butcher.
Fucking butcher. Yeah. So let's say instead of wise men, you had those like just job titles and had fun with the characters. I wouldn't mind that so much. But you're, what the fuck are you on about the shadows? What's that got to do with it?
I don't know. I didn't write it.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, I was
six.
If I was sat there watching it, I'd be like, what is going on?
You're forgetting I was six. I wasn't going to be like, excuse me, this isn't factually correct.
I think you should have done. I think you should have took issue with the person who was producing this shambles of a production.
Well, we don't know any of it's fact. So whatever you put into the nativity play.
But what I'm getting at is, why don't you just do a different play? Or at least if you want to use the nativity scene,
yeah,
why don't you just work around what's there?
So we'd still do no room in inn.
My point being, you could alter some of the characters that are already there to make it more fun for kids, rather than just adding in loads of random shite and it's not even the story. You may as well just do a different, make up your own play.
Mm.
You know, I have a massive issue with this. I don't understand at all. Like, what the fuck? I remember when you said I was in the nativity play. I was like, oh, who are you? And you're like, I was Shadow. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? What does that mean? What's happening? What's happening?
Was that Paul McCartney? He was in Shadows, weren't he?
I don't know.
The Shadows were very similar to Beatles. I'm pretty sure someone crossed over.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Oddity.
The Shoe Thief.
The Shoe Thief.
The Shoe Thief. Say thief.
Thief. Yeah.
See, that's sinister now. Well, you're going to get your own back of me because I'm trying to pronounce a city in a different country.
Okay.
And we both know I can't pronounce for shit.
What country?
Japan. We're back in Japan. Seem to be going there a lot lately. Japan is the new Alaska, if you haven't heard.
Yeah.
In the city of Fukuoka in Japan, some sick bastard kept stealing the shoes from a kindergarten. I'm not even talking about pairs. I'm talking about a single shoe at a time.
That's worse.
It is, isn't it? It's creepier. 15 shoes belonging to 10 different children had been stolen. Of course, the staff are worried and I'm sure a little bit creeped out. You know, who the fuck is doing this? Why do they keep doing it? And to kids' shoes, it's just fucking weird.
Yeah.
The staff become so concerned that they decide to contact the police. The following day, another 3 shoes had been stolen and others were left scattered across the floor. The police decide the best plan of action was to install multiple security cameras on the property, hoping to catch the culprit in the act.
Be an animal.
A few days after the cameras had been set up, the police retrieved the footage and sat down to assess the hours that they had collected. And they are able to get an image of who had been robbing these kids' shoes.
A dog.
It was a weasel.
What's that?
A weasel. It's like a little, like, kind of like a little ferret looking yoke.
See, I don't actually know what a weasel is. I know, but you call someone a weasel.
It's the nearest I could describe to is like a ferret.
Okay. Okay.
I think
it's more like an otter.
Yeah, kind of. Like, they're quite cute looking, I think. So anyway, one of the police officers on the scene said that, to his knowledge, the mystery of these missing shoes was the first of its kind. The kindergarten has since installed nets over the shoe cubbies where the shoes are kept as a, quote, crime prevention measure. The whereabouts of the weasel, as well as the shoes, still remains unknown. Stay tuned for more strange and interesting tales of the unsolved mysteries.
Fuck's sake.
Did you enjoy that? Well, give me something.
There's an animal robbing shoes.
Yeah.
And it took them to phone the cops.
Yeah.
To have it investigated when they could have just put it on a shelf.
Well, they were in little shoe cubbies, you know, like them little...
But they clearly didn't have doors on them.
Well, they put nets up as a crime prevention measure. That's the bit I love. They know it's just like a little animal fucking about, a little weasel coming in, acting the bollocks. But they're like, crime prevention. It is creepy though. Like, if you had first noticed that, you'd be like, who the fuck is this creep stealing child shoes? Like, what?
Well, just one.
One at a time.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, if it was taking a pair, it's kind of like, oh, someone's robbing shoes. And then it's like, why one?
Yeah.
Why always the left one?
Yeah, that's like taking batteries out of a remote.
What you mean? It was just someone doing it to wind them up?
Well, instead of robbing a TV, take the batteries out of the remote. No?
No.
My voice is fucked from that intro.
Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.